Okay, good morning, everybody. We have a talk about Google Summer of Code in Debian. If you have any question during the talk, just ask for the microphone. Ove Arthur-Liu is going to, which is a coordinator for Google Summer of Code in Debian, is going to lead this talk, so welcome.
So I'm very proud that we are participating again in the Summer of Code this year. And so we have a few people here. First, me, I was a student last year, and I'm an admin for the Summer of Code at Debian this year. We also have Shalyu, who's a student, and Per Anderson, who's also a student, and Olien Jarno, who's a mentor. Diego is maybe here, so he won't be coming. So first, what's the Summer of Code about? There are three entities participating in the Summer of Code. First, Google. Google chooses the organization that will be participating. Google decides how many students each organization will have and do the actual funding. The open source organization selects and ranks the project and assigns a mentor who is a developer for the project to help each student complete the project that he's been assigned, either by the organization or by itself. The students submit proposals during the application period, and these projects are then reviewed by all the developers of each organization, and a selection are then given to Google for actual funding. First, what's the Summer of Code for? The idea of the Summer of Code was basically to get open source code created and actually released. It's also a way to inspire young developers to participate in open source projects. It's a way for open source projects to actually identify new developers that would be participating in the long term. It's also a way for students to participate in activities that are actually related to what they are doing at school during the summer instead of working off at McDonald's or anyway. It's also a way for students to have actual experience in large development projects, which is something that they may not have at school in an academic environment. So what's new in 2009? So it's a fourth participation for Debian. Debian is one of the few organizations that has been participating since the beginning in 2006 and has participated in every single edition since. This year we had 30 different project proposals. 10 were proposed by students, up from 6 last year. Developers from Debian proposed 20 project ideas, up from 10. We had 60 students application, students wanting to participate in the Summer of Code in Debian. It was 80 last year, but the process is much more stringent this year, which explains why we have less applications. For other organizations, the number was like half of last year, so we did actually better. We had much more traffic on the mailing list and on IRC. The wiki page had much more content, which might explain why we have actually more applicants. This year we had 38 developers reviewing the proposals, which was about twice as much as last year. So the proposal which were reviewed much more thoroughly than last year. And we had much more comments and individual reviews and iterations to make them better. This year, 1,000 students were selected worldwide to participate in the Summer of Code, down from 1,002 last year because of the crisis and stuff. Debian got awarded 11 slots, down from 12. And in the end, we had to give up one slot because one student retracted due to personal reasons. So what did we do differently this year than last year? First, during the preparation phase, we had the developers create and and iterates much more ideas. So students could actually look at ideas that were more fleshed out, so they could spend more time on the web page, because you know there are like more than 100 participating organizations, and they would just like open every single ideas page and look at them and see what's interesting. So if we have something with more content, they would spend more time and increase the odds of actually staying with us. The selection process was also more open, since we had more developers involved in the selection process. And this year, we also opened the discussion to Debian Devil, and there was quite some discussion about the projects that we were intending to request for funding from Google. Also, for external promotion, we had more direct communication with students. We had a few talks in different universities about the SME of code in general, and more particularly at Debian. The result was also because we didn't actually know which students were referred through which program. We tried to do some social stuff like Twitter, but it was funny, but it wasn't really useful. Leveraging the community, that's something that we didn't do. And that's something that other organizations were very good at. And a few good examples were Drupal, Blender, or Joomla. They have a great community, and they managed to get a lot of students coming from inside this user community, going from user to developer. And that's something that we need to develop at Debian. For the community experience, we tried this year to give a better experience of working in the community that Debian is to students. We had every student set up blogs and add them to the planet. We encouraged them to participate in various mailing lists, even to Debian Devil, which few students did the previous years. Of course, we brought some students to DevConf 9 here. Six students were expected to participate, but some had family or visa issues or couldn't come, which is unfortunate. Google was very kind to provide additional specific travel sponsorship for these students, so we didn't have to fund them from our regular sources. Of course, we need more preparation next time so we can have all the students coming, which would be great. Of course, it's not the end. During the summer, there's the regular Debian UK barbecue. There are meetings at Google offices, and particularly for Europe, there will be a meeting at the middle of August in Zurich, the largest European Google office. And of course, if you can come to Zurich or to the Debian UK barbecue, please come, because the student will come too. What's this? Project management, we try to have the students manage their project better, a little better this year. We had higher requirements for their schedule during the proposal phase. We asked them to have a 2 weeks granularity schedule in advance for the whole summer, which was also a good way for them to think about what was involved in their project. During the summer, we asked them to have reports every 2 weeks. It was very good because it made them reflect on what they did and what they wanted to do the next 2 weeks and so on. And it made their progress much more visible to everyone inside Debian. We also kept a closer tab on mentors, and I'm happy to say that we didn't lose any mentors this year. We also had students present their work in this talk. Next following will be individual slides by students. They will be presenting them if they're here, or I will do it. So first is the project of Christian Mauricio Porz Duarte, mentored by Daniel Burrows. Unfortunately, Christian couldn't come because of visa issues. The goal of his project is to add history tracking to aptitude. Currently, aptitude and DPKG keep text logs of what they're doing, but they are only logging just the minimum, like I'm installing this package, and that's all. We wanted to have more history, like If one package was installed, we want to know if it was installed because of a dependency, if this dependency was automatic, or if it was triggered by a manually requested package. It's also a way to go back in history. For example, if you install a whole bunch of packages and you want to uninstall them, you also want to properly install all dependencies, which is something that's been taken care of by the automatic dependency functionality in Aptitude, but this is more extant. Of course, this will also be handled in the GUI, the GTK GUI that will be present in the new version of Aptitude. So right currently, the logs are stored, and we can also already display them in the GTK GUI. After you install a package, you have a history of why it was installed. So how you can help? You have these URLs. The slides will be online. I will give you the URL of the slides at the end, so you will be able to go and look. Next up. You have the microphone. Where's the microphone?
The microphone, please.
Okay, hi everybody. My name is Per Andersson. I am the student who is currently developing support in Debian Installer to partition and install onto MTD, Embedded Onboard Flash. So that's the goal. And the method is adding support for UBI, unsorted block images, which is sort of like LVM for MTD Flash. So, does everybody know what MTD is? MTD Flash? Who knows? Okay. So you can explain to each other afterwards. So it's half and half. Good. Anyway, MTD is not block images. It's not like a hard drive. So it's special. So it needs special care. How do I continue?
Click.
Voila. So the current status, I've packaged MTD utils as an micro deb for Debian installer. MTD utils already exist and are already packaged by Riku Voipio in Debian. I have developed Partment UBI, which is also a micro deb, which will be used to configure UBI for Debian installer. And then scatter patches around Debian installer for recognizing MTD, loading the correct kernel modules, etc. So what I've achieved so far is I've built a monolithic image for Intel, actually, which can attach MTD Flash to UBI. So you know the details of UBI as well? How many know UBI? Okay, three. You have to read up on this, seriously. Anyway, a lot of details. So I've created some sort of hacky stuff that works, but not the way that I want to, which is the to-do. Because we have to make Partit understand MTD and UBI, which I didn't realize at first. So that has to be done. And then a real nice interface and user experience to actually do this for the user. Yeah, if you want to help, contact me. And yeah, just do that. The URLs are on the slide, so thanks.
Great. Okay, next up is the automatic handling of debug package. It's a project by Emilio Pozzola-Manfor, mentored by Jocelyn White. So why first? The debugging symbols are very useful to actually read stack trace because memory addresses are not very useful to understand what went on when the program crashed. And some packages, many packages, have .dbg sub-packages, which include these symbols, but not all of them do. And even if we add some script to create these symbol packages for archive-wide, we don't really want to do that, because there would be that would be a too large jump in the size of the archive suddenly. What we want to do is something that looks a bit like what people at Ubuntu are doing, with a special method to handle them. We have a way to actually identify binaries and retrace them to the debug packages that would exist, and get them on the fly from either from the some additional archive, or have this trace without symbols sent to servers and have symbols recreated on the fly. As possible side effects of this project, we could improve the integration of the usual GNOME or KDE crash managers, BugBuddy or Dr. Conky. We also could port Apport in Debian. Apport is the crash manager that is used at Ubuntu. It handles regular crashes. It also handles errors in script-based software, such as those written in Python, and reports them to Debian, or in this case Ubuntu, for additional reporting. We also want to add a functionality to aptitude and apt-get to get the debug part of any package. And maybe recreate the retracing service from Ubuntu. They actually get traces without symbols and recreate these symbols on server side, which is quite cool. So how you can help? You have the URLs. You will look them up later. Next up is a two-part project from Jonathan Yu, mentored by Dominic Dumon. And also Zuno Varela for the KDE part, but he's not the official mentor. So the first part is working on control file manipulation programmatically. This library is written in C, so can easily provide bindings for other languages. It provides some simple syntax checking of any control files, these files under the Debian slash. It will be able to read and write them. And support for the copyright file and the patch file are planned before the end of this summer, so you can programmatically write copyright files, which could be useful. It also helps writing scripts that extract or write data to these files, and also there are plans to be able to maintain them through either GUI or any special tool. In the to-do, there is support for dependency and bindings to other languages, so people can use them in the language of their choice. The second part is to have Qt4 bindings in Perl. So why are we doing them inside Debian and not at Perl of KDE? It's because neither Perl or KDE care about each other, so we have to do it. And the principal use case inside Debian is the debconf utility that still doesn't exist in KDE4. And so the goal of this project is to create modern bin bindings. Most of them now currently compiles and runs the examples. It also can run the designer, but there are some issues with ambiguous method calls due to the limitations of Perl. So by the end of the summer, Jonathan planned to fix memory leaks and modernize the Perl side so we can have a better upgrade path from Qt3. And finally, debconf will be ported to KDE4, we expect, before the end of the summer. Next up.
So hi, I'm not the student, I'm Aurélien Jarnot, and the student is Luca Favatella. So I'm mentoring him with the help of Debian Boot and Debian BSD. The goal of this project is to have a Debian installer for GNU K3BSD. So what is GNU FreeBSD is basically joining the better of two worlds, FreeBSD, plus the GNU libc and the GNU userland to give GNU FreeBSD. So you can also use APT, all the Debian tools, on FreeBSD. Currently, we are using a very ACT installer, which is based on the FreeBSD installer, doing some replacement on some directly on some binary files. So it's not flexible. It works if you follow exactly the installation manual and if you have a standard configuration. So it's better than nothing, but it's not good if we want to have a new user and eventually new developers. So the project is to port Debian installer GNU FreeBSD and make Debian installer less Linux dependent, so it can be used for other port later. And it's based on previous effort by Ruben Milan in 2006. And I will switch to the
click.
Yeah. So what is the current status? So the first part has been to port BusyBox because Debian installer rely a lot on BusyBox. Currently it's done except for all the IP configuration, network interface configuration. We are still using a hacked UDEB to do that. The Debian configuration files have been done. We have kernel UDEB and almost everything except this partitioning. So currently we are able to boot Debian installer, set up the network, get fetch a UDEB from the network, and we stop at the disk partitioning part. We know that the following part is also already working, and the disk partitioning is actually